Morning, Harmony. Woo. All right, let me try that again. Good morning, Harmony. Woo. All right. Hey, is something wrong with our screens? Is that what's going on? It's okay. All right. So sorry about that. The screens aren't working. You know what? In the early church, they didn't have screens. So like, we'll make it, right? Everybody look at your neighbor and say, we'll make it. All right. Hey, I wanted to tell you guys how, by the way, my name's Kent Wagner. I am like ADD this morning. I'm sorry. My name's Kent Wagner. I'm the lead pastor here. I want to welcome you guys. Super, super thankful that you've chosen to worship with us. On your way out today, if you're a guest, be sure to stop at the hub. It's kind of the round circle area in the middle. Can't miss it. And they'd love to give you a gift out there if you haven't already grabbed that on your way in. Did the projectors die, Pete? This is my son, Peter. Everybody give it up for Peter. Yeah. It's okay, buddy. Don't worry about it. Well, it'll be all right. He volunteers in our tech ministry every single week almost. So, he's 13. He can do it. If you have not thought about volunteering in the tech ministry, I would encourage you to do it. It's a cool way to help other people. You don't have to get up in front of a stage and do that. And Siri, she's talking to me. I apologize. All right. I'm way off topic at this point. I want to tell you, this is our last week in the Stories of Impact sermon series. I hope it's been good for you. Our goal with this was to try to bring in people to share stories of what God's doing around the world. Because the reality is when you give at Harmony, 10% of everything that you give goes straight to world missions. And it goes to helping make a difference and create the stories. Literally, you guys helped create the stories that we get to hear here. And that's something that just blows my mind, that there are people around on the other side of the earth who are hearing about Jesus because of the impact you guys are making and the investment you're making. The other 90% of what you give goes to us being able to do ministry here and to live out our mission of advancing the kingdom by living for God and loving people in Georgetown. And so when you give here, it makes a huge difference to helping other people come to know Jesus and hear about him. This morning, we have a special guest who is going in January over to Japan to plant a church in Japan. I got to listen to his message during first service, and it was really good. He's a really good speaker. But more than that, he has a heart for people who don't know Jesus. And I think you guys are going to be really impressed. David Whistle is his name. Everybody go, right? Yeah. So listen, here's the deal. I called him, I think it's, and he was like, no, it's Whistle. Don't say. He also kind of sounds like Batman when he talks. He's like, it's Whistle. All right. So that's not true. I'm making that up. So here's what you're going to do. When he comes up, we're all going to clap. And then when he takes the microphone from me, you're all going to go, all right, everybody good with that? Let's practice. Let's just do it on the count of three. Let's practice our whistle. One, two, three. Now, I know some of you can do that. Like really, if we got any loud whistlers out there, give it to me like you go on Pentecostal. All right, here we go. So here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, David's going to come up and share. But I wanted to tell you, he's an interesting fellow, because when he went to college, David went to a secular university, and he's from Cincinnati, Ohio. And he went to college there. And when he went to college, he was a staunch atheist. Didn't believe in Jesus. He'll share more about that, so I don't want to go too deep into that. But did not believe in Jesus at all. And it is incredible to me. Usually what happens is kids go to college and their faith gets destroyed. Instead, he went to college and found faith. And so I hope that his story encourages you and challenges you. He has a wife named Alyssa. They both felt a call to church plant, and he's been working on staff at a church for the last several years. But he felt a call to go plant a church in Japan, and he's going to go with a group called the Mustard Seed Network. They are actively participating in planting churches in Japan. You'll hear about that. It's really cool stuff. But I just wanted to ask you guys, if you do me a favor, let's give David like the biggest Harmony, like go crazy for it. And then when he gets the microphone, what are you going to do? Yeah. All right. Here we go. Everybody give it up for David Whistle. Woo!
Well, good morning, Harmony Christian Church. So good to be here. I was going to say at the outset, sorry to disappoint you. I can neither whistle nor do I sound like Batman. So sorry to disappoint. I know you're excited about both those points, but here we are. But yeah, as Pastor Kent shared, my name is David Whistle. I'm a church planner with the Mustard Seed Network. And if you don't know anything about Mustard Seed, the reason we exist, the reason Mustard Seed Network exists, is to glorify God by making disciples through planting gospel-centered churches in urban Japan. And, you know, Alyssa and I, we really felt compelled by this vision to be part of what Mustard Seed is doing, really what God is doing through Mustard Seed in Japan. We felt compelled to be part of that. And so we're going to be moving, as he shared, we're going to be moving to Tokyo in January 2023. We're going to be in language school, getting to fluency. And then after about a year and a half, we're going to go with a team to plant a church in a new city in Japan. So that's just a little bit out of our kind of timeline. And lastly, or not last, very, very beginning of the message. Before I say anything else, that's what I meant to say. Let me just thank you. Man, it's so powerful to come here and just see, like, you know, put a face to the support that Alyssa and I feel from you, from y'all, and just to know that, like, man, there's brothers and sisters who we maybe won't be on a first name basis with that are encouraged by us, are praying for us, are supporting us, are being generous to support what God's doing through Mustard Seed. So, man, let me just say I'm so encouraged and just thank you for your partnership in the gospel. It's just not possible to go and you know, bring the gospel to Japan, a place where Christ has not been named, without all of you guys. So thank you so much for your support. So if you had met me 10 years ago, I promise you, the very last thing you would have said is, that guy's going to be a pastor. That guy's going to be a missionary. I grew up, as Pastor Ken shared, I grew up an hour north of Georgetown in Cincinnati in a Roman Catholic family. But for most of high school, in the beginning of college, I was a hardcore atheist. And when I say atheist, like, I was real consistent. Like, I was like, there's no God. There's no meaning to life. When you die, you become plant food. And that's it. And I was in, like, one of those real chill, you-do-you atheists. Like, I was, like, really pushy. Like, I read Friedrich Nietzsche. I would love to debate religious people. I even brought people to tears, which is how, like, much of a jerk I was. So, how in the world did someone like that become a Christian? Stay tuned to find out. First, I'm going to talk to you about four things Japan desperately needs. So, Alyssa and I obviously aren't on the field yet, but as I share each of these needs, I'm also going to share some really encouraging stories about how God is at work to meet these needs through the Mustard Seed Network. So the first thing Japan needs is gospel proclamation. So the Japanese are the world's second largest unreached people group. What that means is less than 1% of the 126 million people in Japan are followers of Jesus. So what that looks like is the overwhelming majority of Japanese people have never been to church. They've never read the Bible. They've never even met a Christian. And most tragically of all, if you grow up in Japan, there is statistically a 95% chance that you will be born, you will live, and you will die without ever hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, you guys don't know me. We just met. And I love you enough to be straight up with you. There's not a single human being on planet Earth who is innocent. We all stand condemned before a holy God. And Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. People without Christ are going to go to hell forever. It's a weighty thing. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Praise God. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. During my senior year of college, I got the opportunity to study abroad for a semester in Nagoya, Japan, at Nagoya University. And, you know, as I learned the Japanese language, as I became friends with more and more Japanese people, God increasingly put this rock in my shoe, like this inescapable, burning question. What if I'm the only Christian they're ever going to meet? Like, what if I'm their only chance to hear the gospel? Romans chapter 10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's the good news of the gospel. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. But no one can believe in Jesus and be saved if they've never even heard about Jesus. So Japan, what it needs more than anything else is the relentless dissemination of the gospel, which is why in Mustard Seed churches all across Japan, we make sure that the gospel is clearly taught from God's word each and every week. And we want to make sure that every church member is equipped to share the gospel with their friends and family. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And by God's grace, I'm happy to share the Mustard Seed Network has seen over 150 Japanese brothers and sisters declare their faith in Jesus Christ by baptism. And Lord, I'm part of the Slack for Mustard Seed, and I see every day, every week, encouraging stories about folks coming to know Jesus in Mustard Seed churches and hearing the gospel and being baptized. So praise God for that. So the first thing Japan needs, gospel proclamation. Second thing Japan needs, godly leaders. So Japan, you may know, has a very low birth rate, one of the lowest birth rates in the whole world. And so there's some big problems on the horizon with population decline coming on the horizon. Its population is aging, and this is having some devastating effects on the church in particular. You know, missionaries love statistics. Here's one, I'm probably overwhelming you with statistics already, but here's one really important one. 70% of pastors in Japan are over 50 years old. So what that means is in 2 decades, they'll likely be retirement age with no one to replace them. And to kind of illustrate this, I once heard a really sad story about an elderly pastor of a rural congregation in Japan. And this brother continued to preach and pastor well beyond retirement age. Like, he's in his 80s and 90s, and dementia is beginning to set in. And he keeps going. And it became so bad that he would, like, get up and preach and forget, like, who he was and why he was there and what he was saying. And they had to, like, give him his notes again and remind him. Because there's no one in his church to replace him as a pastor. So this faithful brother is doing all he can, leveraging all of the life he has left, leveraging all the mental faculties he has left to make Christ known in Japan, to care for his people. As you can see, the Japanese church is in desperate need of a new generation of leaders. And by God's grace, the Mustard Seed Network has been raising up some of those leaders. You know, many of the 6 churches that have been planted by the network already have local Japanese staff and Japanese pastors. My favorite story, my favorite example is a guy named Yuma Tarui. So Yuma, like me, used to be an atheist. And he's Japanese. He grew up in Japan. And his grandfather was actually a Buddhist priest. So he was like a typical Japanese person, right? Like, not very religious, kind of a Buddhist Shinto kind of background, right? Growing up in Japan. And he once said in his story, a testimony I heard from him, that he grew up believing that the Christian God was not for Japanese people. Like, you know, Western people may believe in Jesus and God, great for them, but for Japanese people, it's not relevant to me. It's not, Jesus isn't for me, is what he believed. But man, praise God. Not only did Yuma start following Jesus, he heard the gospel through a member of a Mustard Seed church in Osaka. And it was a long process. It took years and years and years, but he came to faith in Christ, started following Jesus. And not only that, now he's on staff with Mustard Seed Christian Church Osaka. He preaches sermons and he writes worship songs in Japanese, all because of the power of the gospel. So it's our prayer that there would be thousands of godly leaders like Yuma, thousand more Yumas all across Japan. So Japan needs gospel proclamation, godly leaders. Third thing Japan needs is healthy churches. You know, if you read the book of Acts, the risen Christ, he commissions his disciples to go and be his witnesses. He commissions us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And as you read the book of Acts, you see their primary strategy is church planting. Like, if we take Peter's sermon in Acts 2 as one example, the apostles preach the gospel, they baptize those who respond and repent in faith, and then they organize them into local churches. Because the church is God's plan A for reaching the world. The local church is Jesus' evangelism plan. This is why Mustard Seed, this is why our dream is to have planted 12 churches in the 12 largest Japanese cities by 2025. And by God's grace, we've already planted 6 churches, and we've got 6 more to go by 2025. You know, and for each of these churches in Japan, in each of the major cities, our hope is that there'll be ministry hubs. There'll be catalysts for further church planting in each of their cities, each of their regions. To kind of illustrate the need for healthy churches in Japan, you know, a couple months ago, I was on a call with Chad Farmer. He's the pastor of Mustard Seed Christian Church in Tokyo. So the church meets in central Tokyo, just steps away from the second busiest train station in the world. It's like where the church meets. So if you've ever seen you've definitely seen it. Like any like news thing about Japan, any kind of like bit about Japan, they have this clip of people walking across a really busy intersection. It's called the Shibuya Scramble. You've definitely seen it. That's where they meet, like the most famous spot in Japan. Anyways, you know, I was on a call with him, right? And we were talking, and he mentioned in a very offhand way, like, he said, like, I know of roughly 12 other churches in Tokyo that are faithfully preaching the gospel. Like, I know about 12 churches that I'd feel comfortable recommending to people, that they're going to hear the gospel and they're going to hear the Bible. Now, think about that. Tokyo is not only the largest city in the world, it's the largest city in the history of the world. 37 million people live in the Tokyo metro area. The Tokyo metro area has more people than Canada. And there's like 12 or so gospel preaching churches. Like, are you kidding me? Can you imagine if Canada, like the entire nation of Canada, had 12 churches? I'm pretty sure I could convince all of us to go and move to Canada tonight and start some churches. Like, come on, that's got to change, right? And one of the challenges with church planting in Japan is, one of the hard things is you can basically only grow through conversion. Over the last 5 years, I've helped plant Redemption City Church in urban Baltimore. And we've seen a lot of growth through people coming to faith in Jesus, people who are totally agnostic, atheists, whatever, New Age, whatever their view is, and they come to faith in Jesus, right? We've seen that by God's grace. But we've also seen, to be quite honest with you, a lot of growth through transfer, a lot of growth through people who are already Christians, who are moving to the city and looking for a church. It's not a bad thing, right? Christians need churches. We all need to be part of a local church. But just the fact that most of our growth has come through transfer. But in Japan, the thing is, you don't really get any of that. Like, there's no one running around Japan, not no one, but there's very few people running around Japan who are Christians, like, looking for a church with slightly better music or whatever. In Japan, when you start following Jesus, it's a messy thing. Like, if you become a Christian in Japan, like, you've probably still got Buddhist and Shinto shrines in your house that you have to get rid of. You've probably got family members who are pressuring you, like, hey, we're going to go put an offering at grandma's grave and pray to the ancestors. Are you going to come with us, right? So many unique challenges that we don't experience here. And so church planting in Japan is slow. It's messy. But the Holy Spirit loves to work in and through messy, broken people. That's good news. If you don't believe me, read 1 Corinthians. You'll see lots of messy people like us that God still works through. So Japan, just to kind of review, Japan needs gospel proclamation, godly leaders, healthy churches. Lastly, Japan needs the power of God's word. So the church where I currently serve as a pastor has an evangelistic ministry. It's to non-Christian international students at Johns Hopkins University. Our church is like right by Johns Hopkins. And, you know, we had a meeting a couple months ago, and a church member brought her Japanese classmate. And so we're talking over dinner, right? And obviously, since she's Japanese, I share, like, hey, like, my wife and I are getting ready to move to Japan to be missionaries. And she responded, like, really enthusiastically and said, sincerely, thank you so much for coming to Japan. Like, I can tell you really love our people. And she said, but also, I'm worried about you. And I was kind of thrown off by that. I was puzzled, like, what do you mean? Why are you worried about me? She said, well, Japanese people can't become Christians. Like, I don't think we're capable of becoming Christians. And she said, I went to a Christian high school run by missionaries, and all the way through high school, and it didn't work. I'm still not a Christian. And she said, I'm worried that you and Alyssa are wasting your time. Like, why not just be a pastor in America where people are going to respond more? And since Alyssa and I started feeling called to Japan about 5 years ago, we've heard this kind of same concern. We've had this conversation over and over again. In missionary circles, Japan is nicknamed the missionary graveyard. And it's earned that dubious title, not because of persecution, not because of any physical danger to missionaries. Like, Japan has complete religious freedom. We're actually right now applying for our missionary visa. Like, the government's like, great, you're going to be a missionary? Have fun. Don't hurt anyone, you know? Good luck. So they have religious freedom. It's called the missionary graveyard because people say it's where your career as a missionary goes to die. So, okay, with all that in view, how did I respond to this sweet Japanese student who was genuinely concerned for Alyssa and I, that we're wasting our lives, we're wasting our time? I said to her, and this is a paraphrase, I said, you're totally right. I've heard a lot of people say that the Japanese will never believe in Jesus. But if you had met me 10 years ago, you would have said the exact same thing. You would have said, that guy David, he's never going to become a Christian. Like, he's such an angry atheist. Like, he always, the person tried to share the gospel with him and he, you know, hated it and he mocked them. Until someone handed me a Bible. And for the very first time, I actually read about Jesus for myself. And then I got to share with her about how two Christian classmates had boldly shared the simple gospel with me. Nothing fancy. And you know what? I actually hated the gospel the first couple times I heard it. I said things like, you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? That's so intolerant. You believe salvation is by grace and not by good works? Like, that's so unfair. Or, you actually believe a man literally rose from the dead? That sounds like a fairy tale. You know, when I said these things, my Christian friends, they didn't have like these sophisticated, apologetic type responses to give to me. In terms of intellectual debate, I totally schooled them. But this is important. They had something far more powerful than a compelling argument on their side. They had God's word. They simply handed me a Bible and said, if you have a problem with it, take it up with Jesus. See what he has to say about it. Now, if you can't tell, I was a real piece of work before I met Jesus. Still am. But he's working on me. I was an arrogant, angry, unhappy person. And even though I wasn't religious, I was incredibly self-righteous and judgmental. I looked down on people who I thought were less intelligent, less tolerant than me, whatever it was. I thought I was superior. And I thought, if it turns out there's a God, I'm a pretty good person. Like, he'll probably let me off the hook. Until I actually read the Bible. Until I read the Gospel of Luke. And I'll never forget reading these words from Jesus in Luke 5:32. You know, I had this like little New Believers NLT Bible that my friends gave me. And so I'm reading in the NLT. This is how I read it. So Jesus says in Luke 5:32, I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. And when I read those words, the gospel really started to click for me. It really hit me. It suddenly dawned on me that no one can stand before an infinitely holy God based upon their own righteousness. Like, I realized I wasn't a good person at all. I stood condemned. We all stand condemned before a holy God on our own merits. And so at that moment, I decided I wanted to follow Jesus. Like, I had a ton of questions that I had to iron out. But in that moment, I threw myself on the mercy of Jesus and said, man, Jesus, if you can't save me, no one can. And I've never been the same. And, you know, right now it's super big, the whole, like, deconstruction movement. People, like, grew up Christian, like, kind of deconstructing their faith and whatever. And let me just tell you, if that's you, or if you know someone like that, let me just tell you that as someone who spent the first two-thirds of my life without Jesus, first, following Jesus is hard, but it's absolutely worth it. And second, even on my worst day, my absolute worst day of being a Christian, not for a second would I ever go back to my life without Jesus. Take the world, but give me Jesus. And you know, Japan is a country filled with people like I used to be. People who have never even heard the gospel. People who are living without hope, not only in the world to come, but in this world. Japan's an amazing country. I live there. The people are incredible. People are so kind, and it's very wealthy. And many of you have been to Japan. But it has one of the highest rates of suicide and depression in the whole world. Like, it's known for its suicide rate, unfortunately. And Japan is constantly being written off by everyone as a spiritual lost cause. They're too lost. The soil is too hard. They'll never believe in Jesus, people are saying. But as a network, Mustard Seed, we want to choose to believe God's word. We want to believe that we're choosing to believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. And right here at Harmony Christian Church, right here in Georgetown, you have the opportunity, those of you who know Christ, to do the same thing, to trust God's work and see the power of the gospel at work. Literally. I mean, like, we just, in the last service, Pastor Kent had us raise our hands and saw how many people work for Toyota and know Japanese people and have been to Japan. What an incredible opportunity. I mean, like, very few Japanese people, like, I want you to appreciate this. Very few Japanese people will ever leave Japan, like move overseas. It's not very common. And very few people speak English. But what an incredible opportunity y'all have here in Georgetown. You know, one out of every four people in Georgetown work for Toyota, and I think it's even higher here in this congregation. So, and even if you may never visit Japan personally, chances are, those of you who work in kind of the Toyota bubble, you're going to brush shoulders with people from the world's second largest unreached people group. And they're unreached because they're hard to reach. Like, they don't speak English commonly. They rarely come here, and they're right here, right next to you. And let me tell you, that's no accident. Like, God providentially, Acts 17 tells us that God providentially has determined the dwelling places of all people so that they may come to know the one true God through Jesus Christ. And I hope you ask that question I asked myself. I hope you have the same rock in your shoe that I had. The rock in your shoe being, what if you're the only Christian your Japanese coworker, your Japanese customer, your Japanese friend will ever meet? What if God placed down specifically in your relational orbit to hear the gospel from your lips? And who knows, maybe Japan, I pray this is true, maybe Japan's version of Billy Graham lives right here in Georgetown, works at the Toyota plant right next to you, and he's not even a Christian yet. He's just waiting for you to share the gospel with them and tell them about the hope that's in Jesus Christ. So as we close, I want you to consider your next step. Like, what's going to be your story of impact? I'd love for you, I'm going to be out of the booth outside. I'd love for you to stop by and just, we can talk about Japanese people and how to best share the gospel with them. I have lots of Japanese friends and lots of experience talking to them about the gospel and hearing the special objections they have just kind of coming from their cultural perspective. Love to talk to you about that. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about church planting in Japan. And just pray for folks you know who are Japanese and who don't know Jesus. So I'm going to close out everything. I have one of my favorite stories about Christianity in Japan. It comes from a book called The Wind is Howling, which is the autobiography of the Japanese novelist Ayako Miura. And so Ayako Miura, she's actually one of the most famous, like most well-known Christians in Japan. Like if you ask a Japanese person, do you know Ayako Miura, they'd probably say, yeah, I know her. She wrote a lot of famous novels. And so in her autobiography, The Wind is Howling, she tells a story of how she became a Christian. It's a really incredible story. And it was right after World War II in the 50s. And so, you know, one time when she was a brand new Christian, she was in a hospital with tuberculosis. And one of the great things about new Christians is they have this like, man, Jesus is incredible. They have this zeal to share the gospel. And we should all have that, right? But anyway, she has this zeal to share the gospel, but she's stuck in the hospital. She's bedridden for the foreseeable future. So you know what she did? She had a Bible study in the hospital, on her hospital bed, and invited her fellow patients to join. Like, come, push up your bed, and let's study the Bible. And this was 1950s Japan. Like, almost none of them were Christians, except for the Ayako, who was leading the study. And listen to this. This is incredible. Here's what she writes about the experience. She says, 2 months after the meetings, I was really taken by surprise. A man who said he was there to kill time had read through the New Testament twice and wanted to be baptized. The man commented, the Acts of the Apostles actually struck me more than the Gospels. When I read of how Stephen was struck and killed and how the apostles suffered to spread the gospel, I knew that Jesus Christ was God. Miura continues, she writes, I was amazed at the astonishing power of the Bible. Of all the patients at the discussion, he alone had said he had come to kill time. This is important. She says, it showed me that whatever motives people had when they read the Bible, they could be struck by its words. I was convinced that even if they read the Bible and did not understand it, or even if they were hostile towards it, it was extremely important to recommend the Bible to them. Let me tell you, as someone who was an atheist, who read the Bible, having never read it, and became a Christian, it's extremely important to recommend the Bible to your non-Christian friends, whether they're Japanese, American, whatever. So man, Japan needs the power of God's word. Just to review the points, 4 things Japan needs more than anything: gospel proclamation, godly leaders, healthy churches, the power of God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for, man, just as I'm thinking through these things, Lord, as I'm preaching on just the spiritual realities of our world, Father, we thank you for each and every one of us who know you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you've brought us to faith in Christ, Lord. You've put us in a place where we could read the Bible, come to church, meet Christians, hear the gospel, and we've come to faith. And this isn't anything we did, Lord. It was all your grace. So we thank you for that, Lord. We praise you for your glorious grace. And Father, I pray for each one of us who know you, Lord. Maybe we have a fresh burden. For those of us around us, Lord, whether they're Japanese, whoever they are, Lord, if they don't know Christ, Lord, I pray we would have a burden to share the hope that we have. The only hope for this life, the only hope for the life to come. And Father, I pray for anyone here who's not a believer. I pray for anyone here who hasn't thrown themselves on the mercy of Christ. I pray that they would do that, Lord. I pray that they would come to trust in Jesus and be baptized, Lord. Declare that faith. And Father, lastly, we pray for the Japanese people, Lord. People that you created, people that you love. What a beautiful country, Lord. We pray that you would have mercy. We pray that you would pour out your spirit on this nation, Lord. And churches be planted, the gospel proclaimed, the name of Christ be glorified. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, David. You guys give it up for David again? Yeah. I wanted to real quick, he mentioned that I did this in first service, and I'd love to see from you guys. I'm going to ask you in a moment questions, and if you answer yes to that question, go ahead and raise your hand and keep your hand up until I'm done, okay? So it won't take very long. But how many of you have traveled to Japan yearly for your job? Does anybody in here do that? Raise your hand. So there's some people. All right. How many of you have traveled to Japan for your job before? Raise your hand and keep the hands up, okay? All right. How many of you work with people who are from Japan? Anybody? Okay. Yeah, at some point during, yeah. So there's quite, look around real quick. There's quite a few people in here who either have some kind of connection, and probably you guys can put your hands down. Thank you. My guess is that in your industry, somewhere along the line, some point, there's going to be some touch point with a Japanese person. And it blows me away to think that there is this place where only 1% of the population, 1% knows Jesus. 1%. That's it. My hope for you guys with this whole sermon series has not been for you to think that the people up here are somehow more special than you or have a line to God that you don't have in your life. They're just like you. David and Alyssa are just people who were like, I'm all in, Jesus, whatever you want. And it just so happened that he is telling them to go to Japan. But what he may be saying to you is to start praying for your coworkers, to start praying for your family, to start looking for opportunities to share Jesus. It blows me away that we live in a place where they are paying Japanese people to come over and sit with you and talk to you. They're paying them to do that. You have the opportunity to be Jesus in their life like nobody ever has been before. My buddy David Birchfield that I get to work with every day, huge blessing to work with him. He still will talk about people from his time at Toyota that he's still praying for. Japanese people that he's shared the gospel with and talked to, that he was the only Jesus they'll ever see. It was him. And he's still praying for them. What about you? Do you look at your life that way, as though your life counts for the kingdom of God? Or does your life just count for the kingdom of MasterCard and Visa and the kingdom of going swimming and going on vacations and the kingdom of getting kids to sports and the kingdom of all the different things that all of us are wrapped up in? Does your life count for the kingdom of God or for all those other kingdoms of the world? Because I will tell you, there is one kingdom that will count when all things end. One. There's one. What are you going to give your life to? You don't have to go be a missionary, although my prayer is that God would start raising up people from our congregation who would feel the call to go and do that. I would love to support you to go do that, right? But guess what? You are already in a place where people don't know Jesus. The question is, if we're going to view ourselves in the way where we say, I am a missionary to this world. I'll tell you, I don't know if this is unique for people or not. I'm at the hats off thingy yesterday at the Kentucky Horse Park. And when I'm around a bunch of people, this is my prayer. Maybe you do this, maybe you don't. I'm sitting there watching my son go through the inflatable thing. And I'm just thinking about all these people that I see. And I'm thinking, the thought that's going through my head is, I wonder if they know Jesus. Now, you may be thinking, well, Kent, you're a pastor. That's like your whole bread and butter. But I'll tell you what, when I was in high school and I'd come to know Jesus, do you know what my question was in my head all the time? I wonder if these people know Jesus. I wonder if they know Jesus. And I'm sitting there praying, and my prayer yesterday, and it's been the prayer of my whole life, was, God, would you just do again what you've done so many times in people's lives? Would you, that mom over there who's struggling with her little kid, God, would you help her to find Jesus? God, would you help this grandpa who's sitting over here feeling lonely because all of his family's off and he can't physically be by them because he can't physically stand for very long? God, would you do it again in his life? Like, I'm praying that. What about you? Which kingdom matters most? For me, it's not because Ken's great. It's because I had somebody years ago who said to me, there is a kingdom that matters more than all the other kingdoms of the world. Kent, which one are you going to be sold out for? I'm telling you, Kent's not, if you knew Kent and all of his Kentness, you'd be like, that dude is a jerk. It is because of Jesus. And it's because somebody challenged me years ago to let his kingdom be the kingdom that mattered in my life. What about you? This morning, this is the last Sunday we're doing this Stories of Impact, but it is not the last story Sunday that you will get to live out Stories of Impact. What we have asked for you all month long is that you would intentionally, my guess is that about 5% of you, all the rule followers, have done this. All the rest of you have been like, yeah, maybe I'll do it at some point. But my prayer and my hope is that you will actually write down things that you're going to be praying for your friends and your family and your faith community, things that you would love to see God do in their life. Who is that coworker that you'd love to see come to know Jesus? Who is that aunt or uncle or that child or that grandma and grandpa that you'd love to see come to faith? That you'd start praying for them and that you would start looking towards the stories that God wants to write, that he wants to write in the worlds around you. That's our hope with this. And my hope is that today, before you leave, that you'll fill out just this little section at the very bottom on this side, that you fill it out. The other thing, this is just kind of the practical piece. I hate talking about money, if I'm just being honest with you guys. A lot of you know my heart, and you know that I'm not the pastor that cares about that very much. But it is a practical piece of doing church. We are a crowdfunded organization. This is just how it is. We're crowdfunded. We don't exist unless people out, you guys, help us exist. And so one of the things that we've decided to do is ask people to rip off this section last Sunday and this Sunday. So if you've already done this, you don't need to do it again. But that you would fill out, if you're in at Harmony. If you're not in at Harmony, just be like, suckers, I don't have to do that, all right? The rest of you, we're asking you to do this. That you would let us know what you think you're going to be able to give over the next year. You can put that monthly. You can say, oh, each month, this is what we think, or this is what we think we'll be able to do each week. You can, if you're really good at math, figure up the yearly amount. But the reason we're asking you to do that is because as a crowdfunded organization, we have to figure out how we're going to budget. Because one of my goals is for us to be the best stewards of what you guys work all week long to give. We want to be the best stewards that we possibly can. And we want you to be sure that when you give at this place, it goes for the kingdom of God. It's not Kent needs another jet, so he's up there crying to get more money for his jet. It's that Kent and this church and the leadership wants to see more people come to know Jesus. And we want to put it all on the line for him. And so what we're asking is just simply, don't do this because you're emotional. Do it just like, do it because it's what you feel like God is calling you to give. That you would put that on there, and then we can, as a church staff, budget and be good stewards of what you give and stretch every single dollar and penny in every possible way that we can to help more people come to know Jesus. Make sense? So if you guys would do that, this is the last Sunday for that. What we're going to do is, during this time, we're going to sing a song. And our screens aren't working, so if you know the song, sing along. If not, I would encourage you to sit there and worship and just pray. If you really want to sing the song, I'll tell you a little secret. All the words are on the back screen for them to be able to see, so you can always look back there. But I want to encourage you during this time to really go to Jesus and really worship Jesus. Because at the end of the day, we're all here because there was somebody who 1,000, 2,000 years ago said, I'm going to come after you. I'm going to come after you, and I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to give so that you can have because you don't have right now. And he died on a cross for you so that you could have life. So when you go to this time, when you go over there and you put your little card in the box, stop at the communion table and just for a moment reflect on the fact that Jesus gave everything. He gave everything to somebody who had nothing so that you could have it all. This is your time. Whenever you guys are ready, I'd encourage you to stand up and go partake of communion and drop those cards in the box. Will you guys stand with us and sing or listen to this song?